for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
December 25th, 2003, Midwinter Family Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the first service of the Midwinter Camp Meeting. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement. This is one of two of the evening service. Brother Jim Landry, Dr. Nell, and Brother Jim both are board members here, as well as Kevin and Patty are the campground. And Jim and his wife both have ministered here many, many times. And as I mentioned, she'll be ministering in the ladies' meeting in February. And Brother Jim and his wife, Alberta, both are very successful business people. And not only successful business people, but he also pastors two churches. I guess he still does. He did. Right or wrong?
I'm training somebody.
So we're just happy to have him come and minister to us this evening. Brother Jim Landry.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We have elders in wanting, and we're currently training and discipling individuals, and I'm hoping that in the future we can even replace my office at the local assembly, at least replace, and then when the Lord say move on, we're ready to move on. But how many know that's what it's all about, is discipleship. The scriptures say, make ye disciples. Tonight we're going to be looking at destroying Satan's armor for a title, removing protective devices. I want to greet everyone. Some of the faces I'm very familiar with, and some I'm not. And I know one individual I met from Friendship Baptist is here. I met in the rear. We just kind of like just, boom, just ran into each other. And I hope this is the beginning of a relationship. So we want to greet all of you. Thank God for all of you being here tonight. What better way to prepare as we get ready to go into the next year than to share about some of the work that we as believers and ministers have to do, and that's counsel and minister to captives. How many of you know that there are a lot of people out there that are hurting, and they're looking for an answer, and we have an answer, right? His name is Jesus. As I listen to the elders speak, my heart couldn't be touched. It almost persuaded me to teach on it. I'm kind of easy like that. Once I hear the word from the prophets come forward, I'm about ready to submit to it, you know. And, you know, some of you are here. Some of this message will probably be for the first time. But I can assure you, you're not here by an accident. God wants to reach out to the body. And there are those that before salvation and after salvation that are having problems. And and some of the problems could be demonic, and from a psychological perspective, they may call them barriers or different problems with personalities. Whatever we throw it all in the garbage can, we realize it's still trash, and we got to get it out. And so whatever you've been taught in the past, for the sake of tonight, I would prefer to use the scriptural principle, and that's the one Jesus called them flat-out demons. And I realize that we have a diverse group here tonight, so I ask that you'll consider that there are some problems out there with people before Christ, and then there obviously is there some problems with people maintaining their victory after Christ. And we need to look at destroying Satan's armor, look at removing some of the protective devices that personalities, evil spirits, demons, words that have captivated the captive's personality have done to them. And so tonight's message is a little unique, a little different, because it's a training session to prepare you for the ministries that you've been called to. So in my presence here today, some of you probably say, I was there for many, many years. My pastor would get in my face and literally tell me to go do it. and preach, and I'll go out and win souls, baptize 30, 40 people. It wouldn't make any difference to me, but preach, oh, no. And so I know where you are, and that's okay. But in my midst are apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists, and you're being taught so that you can bring us, that you can bring the body into perfection. And that's going to require that you learn some things. Proverbs, I think the 20th chapter, verse 18 says, before you go to war, seek wise counsel. So people are going to come to you, and they're going to need help. I noticed that over the years, the Lord has revealed to us, and probably to you, most of you, a number of deceptive schemes operated within individuals that have come for deliverance, have come for healing, have come for restoration from problems they have. And I've noticed that over the years, there are various satanic devices that were uncovered during these deliverance sessions. So when we ministered to individuals, we started noticing that not everything that was coming out of their mouth was actually what was in the heart. It wasn't intentional in most cases. It's just that we have to be ever so sensitive to hear and be attentive to the Spirit of the Lord. You know, God visits us by His gifts. And so we have to hear, because many times what the captive is saying to you is not necessarily the root problem. It's simply one of the onion layers. It's a surface area. Whether it's intentional, I can tell you this is intentional by Satan, you know, without question. And he wants to deceive us. So let me just define these devices as various coverings that Satan uses to cover, protect, and to conceal his working within a captive's life. Now, when I speak of captives, Luke 4:18, Jesus came to set the captives free. At one time, we were all missing in action, MIAs, and we were lost in a war. We were at peace with our enemy, but our enemy was not at peace with us. Satan's main purpose and focus was to destroy you, take you out of here. You might say that these devices are the thin onion-like layers we begin to peel off before we arrive at the spiritual root. And I think everyone here has had some experience with onions. When I cut one open and I began to work around the house, it seems like it just can't get that smell off of me. And sometimes that's the way it is with getting people delivered from the demonic oppression, the demonic problems that they're having. There can be many devices that Satan used to protect his strong man and to protect his demonic devices that cover the strong man in a captive's life. These devices that Satan used were formed as seals and shields that cover, protect, and conceal Satan's strong man or his ruling principalities in a person's life. Now, let's go to the scriptures, because it might sound a little heavy or a little deep, but it's really not. And it's very simple. If you'll just stay open to the Lord will give us ears to hear, ears to understand here. And in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 10, the scripture says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, people. That's a word that stands out here in verse 11. And that is that we might be able to stand against wiles. Now, when we look at that word and we look at it in its original translation, it also has several other additional meanings. One is it speaks of deception. Wiles are deception. Satan uses, it also speaks of methods. Satan also uses schemes. And the one we want to look at tonight in this translation is devices. So Satan uses devices. So Satan has a number of strategies he uses to place individuals into bondage and protect his demons. So this is what we're looking at tonight. We're looking at getting down to the core of the onion and looking at the devices that Satan used. This message will deal primarily with uncovering and removing various satanic protective devices. And although I'm going to share other areas of spiritual warfare, this is still going to be the primary focus of tonight's lesson. As we prepare to go into the remaining days of worship and ministry, what a convenient way that God will have us to have on our hearts the need to set the captives free, to be an integral part of that, and even maybe perhaps in your lives get some deliverance yourself. We all need some more freedom. We all have issues in our heart that God wants to deal with. Amen? In Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 28, Jesus, after the Pharisees had attributed his work to that of Beelzebub, or the prince of the devils, began to explain to them how every king divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. He says in verse 28 of the 12th chapter, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Obviously, he was saying here that the casting out of evil spirits is a demonstration of the power and the authority of God. Okay, so it's a work of God. He says that, or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Now, some time ago, I did a study on the houses here, all the way up to 43, 44, I think it is, and 45, where it talks about you go out and get seven other spirits. And I began to search and begin to look at my own seed, my children, my grandchildren, and see how the enemy will go out and bring seven more and try to attack your seed, because and so shall it be unto that untoward generation. And I was able to conclude that the word generation and all of these houses were similar and almost identical. And sometimes we tend to tell individuals, well, we're going to get it out, but you better get right because it's not seven times more coming. Well, the seven times more all went after my children individually, because that was in my house, my generation. And I'm just having a field day watching God bring them to the Christ. Here in Matthew 12, 28, 29, above the strong man's house are various spoilers operating. Okay, the scripture says that how else can we go into a strong man's house and spoil the goods there? Okay, so above the strong man's house are various spoilers operating, and these spoilers are the seals and they are the shields that protect the strong man. The devil's spoils are supposed to be our good. Remember when Jehoshaphat and the army of the Lord, and all they were required to do was to sing and worship God? I want to go somewhere else because I hear Pastor Clement and the rest of them teaching on worship. But anyway, after they had won the battle at TKO, conveniently taken over by our athletic department in America to represent a knockout. But anyway, at the battle of TKO, it said that for 3 days they began to pick up the spoils and it became their good. So the devil's spoils are supposed to be our good. So we're going to spoil the enemy's camp here. But the spoilers there are the seals and shields. This is what we're focused at, seals and shields and devices here. Once we bind the strong man, then we can spoil his house. Now, the manifesting spoil that might be in the person that you're counseling, the person that you're ministering to, this manifesting spoil could be an infirmity. Some type of infirmity, some type of sickness. I'm speaking of from a physical perspective, not a hindrance for the gospel, but a sickness. And the spiritual root, which is below the onion there, could be some type of, we know it's sin. Now, whether the sin is your sin or the sin of the forefathers of the individuals that you're counseling, but we do know there is a sin area there. And we do know that on surface, above the spoilers, between the spoilers, above the spoilers is the manifestation of a sickness and infirmity. Then we have the spoilers that are making it happen, more or less like they're the pain workers. And below the pain is the actual strong man, okay? And we know that and the goods that he has spoiled is the health, okay? So another example might be the manifestation might be rejection. The individual's having a lot of problems with rejection, a real crisis there with acceptance. I've worked on that, but I didn't have any problem with that, but I worked on that by the grace of God. The Lord brought me through 2 years of ministry to overcome that, and I watched him do it, and just awesome what God does. And we're not talking about 20 years ago. We're talking about in the last 4 years. And now, the spoil is rejection that's manifesting, but the spiritual root is some type of defilement, perhaps before conception. I was sharing with someone earlier today, eating, I believe, probably Pastor Hubbard's wife and them, about my family line. And I'm not doing enough study on it, but I need to do more. But on one side of my family, my mother's side, was educational. Everybody's in education. I mean, coaches, teachers, everybody. And then on my dad's side, we are refinery workers. We'll put our hand, pipe fitters, welders, you know. Education was like, we don't need that. So you guys work in a refinery, you girls go to college. And I find that trend in our city. It's very common since we have the Exxon, the Guffaws, the Huntsman, and all these are surrounding my community. And this is the attitude that most of the fathers have. Sons go to work, daughters go to college. So with that, sometimes comes family planning. And a rejection can get in because a premarital rejection can come in because the father and the mother, they decide that they want Jaguars and they want the high spending lifestyle. So they say, we're going to family plan and we're not going to have children. Then the wife gets pregnant and she's a little apprehensive, a little timid about going to her husband saying, this is supposed to be a joyous time. This is supposed to be a rejoicing time. But she, with a great apprehension, faces her husband, and when he hears it, you know, he turns around and says, is it a boy? Oh, boy, the Bible just fell out of that one. Okay, so then we got to work with those fallers there. We got to work with the spiritual roots because it could have been rejection that came in because of not being accepted and loved by the father and mother before conception or after conception because of family planning before, after conception. The statement about a father, is it a boy or a girl? And then the mother saying, I'm kind of scared to go tell Johnny that I'm pregnant. So we had agreed, but the birth control didn't work. All right, so then we have to, as ministers, we have to minister Ephesians 1:6, where they have been accepted and beloved, and then teach them the love of Christ. Amen? Okay, so there are so many other parallels that deal with the strong men, the spoilers. The devil has much furniture in the strong man's house. All right, the scriptures kind of picture us as a spiritual garden. Okay, so what's in our garden? Is it good things and fruitful things? Or is there ungodly things in our spiritual houses or gardens? But the devil, I can say this much, he uses a lot of furniture in the strong man's house. And these are not, these are the seals, and the shields that, spiritually speaking, protect him in the basement. Okay, so we need to get him, we need to uncover him. We're speaking about destroying Satan's armor. If we could get it all on the tape, I would say removing protective devices over evil spirits. I shared a little bit about this in October camp, but the tape didn't come out. And there were several individuals who wanted additional information on it and have emailed me. And I was able to try to share some information with them and to teach them on this. So perhaps many of those individuals will be able to now purchase this tape and add this to their armor against Satan. You have to bind the strong man before you can spoil his good. It's kind of like finding a beehive in a wall or a brick wall in your fireplace. And I have one of the elders at our church used to work with bees, and he would get called all the time to go get beehives. And what stands out the most seemed like it was around fireplaces. I can't imagine why bees would want to be around a fireplace, but it seemed like to me it was around the bricks or something. But I know that he had to remove the queen. But before he can remove the queen was surrounded by all of her males. And they were there to mate her. The queen males were there to protect her. And they had other building responsibilities. In other words, they sealed and shielded the queen in and provided protection. And then there are going to be individuals that are going to come to you for deliverance. I believe that we should take time out, if at all possible, to take some time out and counsel with them. And many times through counseling, we are able to, by the grace of God, discern the strong men or the spiritual roots or the basement of the spiritual problem to their demonic oppression. And also Satan, various devices begin to reveal themselves as they begin to speak to you. You'll be able to see the devices that Satan is using. There can be many seals, there can be many shields, many demonic spirits operating, protecting each other, and of course, they're going to be protecting the strong man, the principality. Generally, in most cases, you're going to find many seals, you're going to find many shields in place to protect Satan's strong man within the individual who you have to deal with. And you're going to, before you really deal with it, you've got to confront the strong man. So the strong man is going to have to be bound. I think we understand there that during the process of dealing with the seals and shields, that the strong man is bound. And after counseling, a lot of times I draw a tree and I'll get it in the front of the congregation and I'll say, well, this is on one branch here. The person is introverted, and they have a problem with isolating themselves. When they go to businesses or places, they stand up in a corner, they look around. They have a lot of problems with nerves and infirmities on the exterior of their bodies, which is inside going outside in the walls of the city here. And they are very reluctant to open up and not very communicative. What is the throw, man? Somebody hollers, rejection! I say, good answer. It could very well be rejection. And so the strong man is bound during the process, but all of these others were seals and shields. Let me give you an example. I think that I'm very privileged to have to be serving under Pastor Harlan Dean. I have a number of pastors, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, who I pray for daily, our pastor, Brother Glenn Miller, Pastor Dean, Harlan Dean, Pastor Norman Parrish. I just thank God for coming under their authority, and because I obeyed when Brother Noah asked us about a year ago, are we all praying for our spiritual authorities and our authority figures? And nobody raised their hand, so I said, I better start daily. And we need to listen, to be attentive. So sometimes we just think it's just, we put it like this. Sometimes when I share a word with somebody in my community, it's got to come like this. Yea, I say unto thee, thus saith the Lord. But if I just speak to them, they don't know it was the same word from the Lord. And so sometimes God has given us a prophetic word from these men and women of God. And we need to listen just because it didn't come. Yea, I say unto thee. So I try to obey. You know, I said, okay, God, well, you know. Let's look at, and the reason why I mentioned about my pastor, because I've never known a man that went out to the gay bars and I've never seen so many people get converted. They have families now, children, and going on with their life that were homosexuals, and just like, ah. So I was very privileged in the early years to sit under him and see this and remove any problems in my life with judging folks, you know, because of their sexuality, because these people were coming to Christ and they still had problems they were trying to be delivered from. And so it's just been a good experience for me. And it just, you know, I don't know many people. This man bold, I mean, go downtown for the gay bar. Man. I mean, I dealt with the Crips and the Bloods and the gangsters and all that, so I guess you could probably say that too. But I tell you what, just a fine brother. I appreciate him. Let's look at ministering to a homosexual. In most cases, it's going to require removing several seals and shields. Let's say that the child is an infant. We're going to start with infant. It could be before that, but as an infant, there's someone in the family or some stranger, a babysitter, a daycare worker. It's a homosexual. Or they can be a pedophile. And if you have some areas like this that you're looking at and you're counseling with someone with these problems, I strongly suggest that you look at the tape that was done in, I think, May of this year on pedophilia, because it was just, we didn't know all God was going to do through some of the people that participated. And then Brother Knowles folk and then Brother Glenn and two or three other elders from up in Lindale. I mean, I was taking it all. I just did my part. I mean, normally I can share for a couple of hours easy, but my part of the message was like 35 or 40 minutes, and the Lord said, that's it. He set me down here the rest of the night. And while everybody else came up and did their part, and at the end, I was walking away, and I saw a bunch of people crying in here. And I remember asking somebody, I said, what are all the people crying for? Oh, these are girls that were molested and raped. I said, oh, my God. I said, no wonder God had me teach that today. And so we just saw people, and Brother Glenn baptized so many girls out there. Well, I got lost. I was driving the wrong side of the lake. And by the time I got there, he was out there by himself. And the girls were getting saved and baptized and getting free and delivered. So, and here I am. I'm at all. Like, ah. So, but anyway, it's just awesome. And my part, like I say, was just, you know, very, very minimal. 35, 40 minutes. But the rest of the hour and a half, God raised up the elders to come in some powerful words. But let's assume that someone did get touched as an infant by a pedophile or a homosexual. And one thing it's going to produce for sure when that ungodly soul tie, Proverbs, so many things about soul ties, but for the newcomers, and I think in Proverbs 5:22, it said we're held together by the cords of our sins. Okay, so that person can impart their... let me put it like this. Impart is the right word, not transfer. They can impart their their delight, their personality, their spirit into that child. And in layman terms, an importation of a demon. And so we got a soul tie there. And abuse spirits are generally inside those individuals because this is a sexual abuse. It may be some physical abuse spirits there too. And of course, the strong man enters the homosexual spirit. This child begins to mature. And perhaps during the years of, I'm just using for the sake of time and numbers, 11 to 15, there's the child begins to develop and they're having an identity crisis. There's confusion, there's rebellion, the identity crisis there, they're trying to figure out what's going on, or it could be just an totally opposite behavior pattern manifested in the child of low self-esteem, introvert, fear of rejection, but they all, both of them, regardless, are going to have a identity crisis problem. And perhaps later on, a year, 16 to 18, they begin to test this this problem they have with identity, and they get involved in a homosexual relationship. Now, this started way back when this child was at daycare or whatever. And I'm not going to say daycare, all daycare is this way. I'm just trying to give you an idea of what could possibly happen even at home with a babysitter or even with you if you hadn't had these issues resolved in your life. So anyway, at 16, 18, there's actual homosexual contact, and then after the actual homosexual action takes place, then that pride's got to come in. And we're looking at, I'm giving you a bunch of devices here, and seals and shields. So pride's got to come in because it's got to overcome the feeling of the guilt, because it can't be nothing more awesome than to do such horrendous sexual activity, such perverted activity as this, where feces and all these other things are involved. So there's defilements come in there. There's guilt comes in there. Of course, they're going to be soul ties. In other words, because of the if you lay with the harlot, you become with the harlot. So you're going to have a binding of an ungodly relationship ties there from all of the additional relationships. And so the relationships, let's say they start between 16 and 18. So with the relationships started to amount to all of these relationships, whether some of them were just ungodly fondling, getting the person prepared to go into an actual homosexual activity, which may not take place for a couple of years. First is kissing, touching with other males, and then so all of those touching and feelings, all of those were sin, and so they all produce seals and shields to seal that strong man in the basement, and various defilements were manifested. And so where do we begin? We build on the things that the Holy Spirit has already revealed. One of the actions that needs to be taken is removing the legal rights and begin destroying the demonic layers in the captive's life. Now, this is based on the fact that the person has received Jesus and they have come because they need help. They don't know all of this that I just shared with you. All they know is that Jesus loves them. And they just need somebody to help them through this thing because they know that it's wrong to have an erection when they see another man. Or, in my case, I see a lot more females than homosexuality. But, and so they hear a message like this, a counseling message, or they go somewhere where the church has a balance and where there's some time afforded for counseling and ministry to those that have come across the Jordan where they had a little garbage came across with them and they want to get it off. Okay, so they'll come up and they say, listen, when I teach people come up and tell me, I was raped, I was molested. I mean, you know, and it's just a favor of God. And I just don't see myself better than nobody. And my delivery is not better than anybody. And I make a lot of notes. So just to show you that you can use the notes. Some people ask me about that. A friend of mine from John Osteen. And you know, he can. And he used to prophesy all the time. Brother Jim, you won't have to use none of that. You can just go. Well, sometimes I can go. But that may not be what I need to do for you. Okay. Because some of us find this thing too difficult when it's not difficult. There's a lot of elders that have brought material here way before us. And if you'll get the material, begin to study it, and begin to use it, then you can take and use it to remove some of the legal rights and begin destroying the demonic layers in the captive's life. Now, personally, I would begin with the leaves and work all the way back to the root. In other words, I would begin pulling the layers off the onion, removing the spoilers, and then going to the basement and get the spiritual root. I've seen a lot of cases in the early years where they went after people would bring people to me. Brother Landry, my son, he's saved now, and he was a homosexual, and Can you come cast this homosexual spirit out? Well, in our early years, I even knew it was something that wasn't right about the pictures. I just knew we had to do more. You know, we have to get in there and give them the word, and faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word. Romans 10:17, and that was preparation, that was accountability, responsibility, submission to authority, just so many other things that's in a pastor's heart for individuals that come. And sometimes we just submitted to what they wanted us to do. Now I'm a little bit more reluctant, and I want to take a few moments out and at least prepare the land to receive. Just share a few words. If it's just a few words, instead of just, yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So I'll take at least a few minutes out. Because God can take just the measure of a word that we share in 2 minutes and expand that 200-fold. But if you don't do it, you just say, well, I'll just get them out of my hair. I'll just lay hands on them, and they can go if they get it, fine, they don't. Well, not no more, not the way I feel about it. Every soul is precious to me, and I don't want to see not one lost. Not one lost. Perhaps I would begin speaking to them about some of their activities getting them to begin to renunciation and repentance and so forth like that. So this leads to another area called renunciation prayers, binding and loosing, before we minister to the individual. Scripture says, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven now. So there are keys to the kingdom that's been given to you and I as the body of Christ. And God has instituted these keys for us to take authority over the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm has been manifested in these last days. And God intends for us to know the principalities and war against the principalities. So the most of the booklets and the deliverance manuals have various renunciation prayers, binding and loosing prayers that you may use to bind the strong man, divide his house, expel his demons, providing the seals and shields. Our book here contains, I would say, 40, 50, maybe more different type of or different booklets with renunciation and prayers. And what you want to do is you want to clean up, and the devil is a legal expert, and you want to cancel all those legal rights he has over the captive's life. So it's okay not to look very professional. I've been to meetings, and people just literally say, why are you here? You know, why are you at this little church? You know, they want to see me. I've turned down very big work. And I'm not a people pleaser. I'm not a Saul type spirit, you know. And I feel like I'm more effective, and I think you're going to be more effective. At least some of you, some of your ministries may expand beyond that, dealing with an individual. If you can just get past that one person, and if you can teach that one person, then now that person can help somebody. Now that's two working now, and then four. So I believe in multiplying like that. It takes longer, and you won't get a lot of recognition on earth, but you'll get it in heaven. Amen. So just, you know, most of your renunciation prayers and can help you with, you know, a renunciation prayer, getting the captives to agree with you and pray a prayer, confessing, I confess the sins of my forefathers. I confess that my sins, confess my sins of my forefathers. I renounce my past, the things I've done, plan with the Ouija board, all those little prayers. That whole back wall back there is full of books that probably don't cost. And we're not really into cost here, but the offering or the love offering for it is probably not more than $2 or $3. And it's loaded with this. And this is where I dug in my early years. I dug in deep and I dug in deep and I began to assimilate what I thought would work with my personality. How many know God will work with your personality? And I took out some, and I threw out some. I built my own and just built a portfolio. And then somebody will call and say they got problems with lupus. And all I got don't mean nothing. I got to go start to scratch one again and find some more booklets with what's going to be appropriate for that person. Okay. So you can't just say, well, I'm of the kind that all we do is this. And Jesus said, go, come out, be healed. He sent his word. You can't just take one of them and say, that's the way we're going to build our doctrine out there. You got to be open to the Lord and what he tells us to do. Remember, we have the precious, wonderful, all-powerful name of Jesus, and that we are covenant children, and that we've been empowered with the commission to do battle. And that is not against flesh and blood. That is battle against the principalities and powers. And every person in here has been commissioned to the battle. You've been commissioned. No one has been left out. Now, some helpful things that might help you when you're counseling and something might happen, because some of you are going to be in a confrontational situation and you're going to minister to the individuals and things are going to happen. I mean, the air can turn blue, as word it would say, but cursing, I know you're a doctor, I remember that too. And just all kind of things can happen, and I'm going to tell you how to handle some of those manifestations and still take you over the seals and shields that I believe that Satan used to keep his strong men hidden. One of the things is that I think that you should, and I believe it's a scripture principle, ask the person that you're ministering to for permission. And you don't have to let them know and get into a confrontational issue about how important it is for them to give you permission, but you can say, John, I appreciate you coming. I hope that all that you ask for God, you're going to receive. I'm convinced that you will. You asked me to pray for you, and is that your will, that we minister together tonight? Oh, yes, yes, I want God to do a work for me. Okay, you can move on to the next step. Because the devil's a legal expert, and I've had spirits scream out. I've had people tell me, my husband brought me here, but he's the one who got the problem. That person didn't. So, if you kind of get that out the way up front, you know, just get that out the way up front, you know. I prefer not to, forgive me if I use the word I a lot. I'll ask you not to take it out of context. And I'm kind of giving you my personal testimony about how we've worked with individuals. I prefer not to work into the enemy's camp, especially in the home of the individual that we are counseling, if at all possible, if at all possible. Sometimes inside the home there are demonic psychic powers within those territories that can hinder the individual. I'm not speaking about affecting you. Sometimes there are artifacts, that can be statues that came from overseas. I spent two and a half years in Japan. The hardest thing is trying to get the dolls out of my mom and dad's house. It took me 12 years to figure out that I was really saved. So, anyway, we're working on that. We're working on that part now. But sometimes it's very difficult if you go into a home and you're trying to minister. And on top of the refrigerator is every kind of pill, preventative, long-term, anti. So, if all possible, I try to have them to come to the assembly. Sometimes it's very inconvenient for me because I got to turn on all the heat in the winter. I call around. I can't find anybody to come. My wife has responsibility as a wife and as a minister. And so then I have to find somebody in the team. I have to get somebody over there, turn on all electricity, come in there, and for that one individual that night. And I prefer to do that. I just believe that it's better to do that, if at all possible. There have been times we haven't been able to do that. Never minister alone, if possible. And I say if possible, and I emphasize if possible, especially with one, and I emphasize this, of the opposite gender. It's very dangerous, and let me tell you why. I had one of the elders work with me with that, and all he did was have trips all over the world. Somebody was paying for him, too. If you didn't believe it was a spirit and it was a personality, some of you remember the Three Faces of Eve, or the Nine Lives of Eve, the old 1950 show, or 1960 show. Yeah, about Eve, and she had these personalities. One, she was a nice person, next she was a prostitute, next she was something else. Let's suppose that one of the faces of Eve manifested as the person you would counsel, the young lady or the young man you would counsel, and in his mind, when the deliverance session was over, you touched him. Well, you don't even have a witness to prove you did.
Yeah.
And I have a friend that works with Kim Daniels, and some of you might see her on TVN, and they teach deliverance around the world. And he said, Jim, I want to help you. I got the legal insurance. I'm a lawyer, and that's good. I have no idea, but I know a lot of works have reverted to now making people sign papers before they get ministered to. The Lord hasn't impressed on me to go that route yet. But I can tell you this: in my hometown, just 2 weeks ago, there was a child that was murdered, and the mother, listening to her spiritual voice — we should all have spiritual voices. Spiritual voice is somebody that is speaking to your life, that loves you enough to tell you when you're wrong and right, mostly wrong. They're not normally your local pastor, but they definitely won't speak against you locally. They're supposed to be in connection with you. And anyway, this lady's spiritual mother told her that her husband had put demons in their 2-year-old boy, and so they began beating the boy, and now the mother and the so-called prophetess are incarcerated, facing God knows what kind of imprisonment because of murdering the child, all in the name of exorcism. And of course, we remember hearing something like that earlier this year too, I believe, up north, where they did a similar case. Well, this is going to step up. It's not because the enemy is trying to come against the gospel. He's trying to come against the work that God is using in the gospel, and that is to deliver his ministry. And so this puts the I want to be careful what words I use, but I just put certain authorities and authority figures in our country eyeing certain practices that are being done, all in the name of Jesus. You don't need to yell. That's not going to gain you anything. I can guarantee you demons are not hard to hearing. And so you can say, well, you don't have to do that, but I'm just saying they can hear you. It's authority. It's the authority that Jesus has given you. The all precious, wonderful name of Jesus. So you don't have to holler, but if you get a little excited, it's okay. You don't have to say, oh, you know, just, it's okay. I recommend that, that people, if they're going to bring somebody, and I suggest they don't, and I don't tell them, don't bring anybody, I say, you really need to come along, or unless they're married, that's different. But when they do come, you need to ask them not to hold hands, because we have found that the demons can gain strength one from another, particularly if they both have the same spirit. And generally, in a husband and a wife, you have what? Same spirit. And I have one couple, or one, two individuals that I worked with for a while, and I told them not to do it, and I counseled them. And I guess after 5 years trying to get a divorce, they finally decided to leave. And because you can't pretend to be in an affair when you're still married. And when I'm trying to minister to you, you can't be holding hands. It's just outright rebellion. So anyway, some of us don't do enough homework. We just think everybody come in just smiling. And I just knew something wasn't right about that. And then I just asked them. And they, the only thing they didn't own up to was the fact they were living together. So you need to do your homework. Do some counseling and talk to the people. I recommend that we don't sit directly in front of the people also, because the demons do not see you unless you are in the flesh. Okay, so they see only the Shekinah glory, the presence of Almighty God working through you and the power of His Word. And if you're directly in front of me and I'm a demon, then you're helping me stay in. Or you're making it difficult for me to come out. So I usually put them on the side, if possible. Okay, but the anointing will destroy any yoke. So if you're in a full-fledged move and the anointing is moving, you're just praying for people, you grab them, walking through the audience and stuff like that, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you have the time allotted for some kind of counseling and ministry. You do these things to teach them, because if hopefully you are not only getting some deliverance, but in your preparation to minister to others, you're counting the cost and looking at the investment and the time that you're putting in their lives so that they can invest their time for other people in the future. What you have done was build your ministry. And I do not want to build my ministry. I want to build God's ministry. So you've got to take time out and invest in their lives. And train them and show them. They won't understand a lot you do in that time, but each session, then a year from now, and 2 years from now, then they'll remember some of those elementary things that we did, and they'll have some foundation so that they can start working with other individuals. Remember, in the early years, when you get some freedom, get some deliverance, there's a pack out there that's running around hollering, screaming, slamming all over the place, making a sign across. And when that happens, they're going to say, well, that wasn't the way it happened to me. And so they're going to kind of like, you know, and so then that'll help maybe perhaps point them in the right direction as far as going into leadership and accountability in their ministry, as opposed to getting caught off in this, listening to everything on 9:90 a.m. and there's another prophet in town. Let's go to that revival. Because they saw the presence of God and the discipline of His ministers minister in love without drawing attention to themselves. Okay. All right. It's okay to have them sit down. So that's what I was talking about. It's okay to have them sit down. Whatever you do, don't get a Samson complex. We put it like this. Fasting should be a way of life. TV, food, pleasures. But it should be a way of life. Dying to self daily. And an individual comes in a situation and you tell them, well, come back in 3 days. Their life may depend upon it. Now, if you hear from the Father, and He said, tell them to come back and do that, fine. And you may ask them to fast, and that you would join in that fast with them. I would not ask you to do something I wouldn't do in most cases. And but the point I'm trying to make is don't get a Samson complex, because Samson lost his hair, and he lost his power. And if an individual is here to get some ministry, and I just got to eat a steak at Steak and Ale, and I had the most gorgeous broccoli you could eat, and then I had a peach collar behind that, and I've drunk 3 cups of coffee. Well, I'm not going to think about that. When that person needs prayer, I'm not going to lose my power because I didn't fast that day. Okay, the power is in Jesus. It's right here. Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, say the Lord of hosts. It's the spirit of God. Now, I'm not saying you practice that every week now, but I'm just saying don't turn people away. Don't get a Samson attitude. Now, something that we talk, share at the local church and here also is that pleading the blood. I know this seems to be a very common process a lot. And let me just say this in love, that that's really no scriptural confirmation where we plead the blood in the ministry of deliverance. Okay, there's several applications of the blood. There's sprinkling the blood, applying the blood, pouring the blood, washing, cleansing. There's redemption, forgiveness of the sins because of the blood, justification by the blood. But pleading the blood is not a scriptural application of the blood that we use to minister to others. So let's put it like this. Maybe you ought to just do a study on the blood and its applications and see if that's well with your spirit. And then if you find something that says otherwise, then just drop me an email or a note, and I'll go back and restudy it. Okay? All right. So we're all growing. And I just I could go into that in more detail, but it would take a lot more time to talk about what pleading really does. Anybody ever had a traffic ticket? Don't show me. I don't want to see. All right. And when you went before the judge, you what? Okay, but when we go before our Father, we what? Praise the Lord. We're not under judgment. Okay. Don't tell anybody they're totally delivered when you minister to them. God gives according to the measure of light that we're able to receive. However, they may be totally delivered in that session, but that's not your call. One of the tests of deliverance is a changed life, and that may take place within an hour. It may take place in a few days. It may take place even in a longer time than that. I know in my life, I've seen deliverance come instantaneously, and I've seen some deliverance take up to 2 years in the case of rejection. And I know these men of God really prayed. They used to come up here and just lay hands all the time before I come up here and spoke. Always would come up and speak anyway. Over the years of our early development, we were very blessed to be introduced to several commands that helped us in restraining an individual that had violent demonic manifestations. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. All of us, at some point in time in our walk, is going to be confronted with a very violent legion-type principality at some point, whether it be here, in Jamaica, the Caribbean, Africa, India. Somebody is going to manifest, and they're going to be violent. It's just part of the church. They did it in the Scripture. So that means it's going to manifest itself in your presence at some point in time if you'll get involved in this ministry. So perhaps some of the things that I'm going to share with you will help you deal with that kind of manifestation. This type of manifestation wants to tap the place, attempt to kill you, try to bite the worker, it cuss, it fights, and it normally takes a half a dozen of the most strong, robust men to try to hold it down, and sometimes with one breath, you throw them all off, and it's all over again. And some of us have seen this. I believe that there are two main principalities that are responsible for this manifestation. One is called evil power, and the other is called evil strength. And when I'm confronted with these principalities in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 3, I speak to them, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds. So when I have a principality like that that's manifesting, particularly if they're restraining the person, okay, then I will gradually walk up there and gently start moving their hands off that individual's legs and body, and I'll say, I bind you, evil power and evil strength. I bind you in Jesus' name. I remind you, my weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to pull down the strongholds. I'm not going to fight you in the flesh. And I move each hand back. Yes, sir. And just I begin to move it and move their hands and move their legs from around the captives. And we generally don't have any problems unless someone else touches the spirit in that person that has a like spirit, such as murder, anger, other spirits that might loose the individual that's being prayed for. So once again, the principality is in full manifestation. They're restraining the person. If they're on the floor, I'll just walk over in Jesus' name. I bind you evil power and evil strength in Jesus' name. You all right? I make everybody calm. I said, just start pulling their hands off him. I back off, right? Back off. I said, in the name of Jesus, stand up. And the person stands up like that. I said, sit down. They sit down like that. The demon is generally still up. Okay? Then I ask Father to send warring angels, and that the angels will restrain them in the seat, latch onto their ankles, around their waist, around their arms. That usually won't stop them from cussing me out. But the demon can really tear you off. Oh, you think he is anyway. And remember, that's where all that cursing comes from. So you see it happen in your house, you know how to get rid of it. Or in your own life. And normally that's fine. And then we start ministering deliverance to the person. And what happens is, the way they can come back into manifestation, somebody can get close that had unresolved issues in their life, like anger, bitter because of the daddy didn't give them right and kind of love. Or they have a real pharisaical attitude about the church not keeping up with the trend. Like they ought to know deliverance. And so they'll be helping out Brother Jim, and they'll preach just a touch the side of that person. Boom, he's on again. Because that person has unresolved issues. So if you and the persons that are helping you, well, anyway, so that's all you have to do. And bind evil power and evil strength. And then begin to minister where you were ministering to the individual. And then at the conclusion of the ministry, then cast out evil power and evil strength. Okay? Any questions on that? I'll just take a... I won't open the mic up to a lot of questions in the course of deliverance. But on that one, I will. Yeah, I do go a lot of places. And on behalf of Lake Hamilton, whenever I go somewhere, I let them know that what authority I'm ministering by. And generally, people do want to help. And be nice. Be cordial to them. And love them. And they'll come up and they want to help and stuff like that. Say, good. Listen, this is what I used to do. Go get me a glass of water. And you walk over here and get the person. Move right in. They bring you water. Okay, I want you to stand right here. Get John 3:16. I want you to read that flow. Okay? I work with them. We in war. Be a general. Yeah, I put them all to work. But not on the person. And they all have it. So this is war. And in war, we commission officers to the battle immediately. And you got to work quick. And you got to be thinking. And that's difficult now if you're a little agitated because people are not where you are. See, I know that I'm not where I should be, so I don't have no problem with other people not being where they're supposed to be. The more you learn about deliverance, the more you realize you don't know. I suspect some of these counselors, they say they know everything. Now, we want to take the last few minutes of the message to actually deal with some of the seals and shields that I spoke about earlier. You might say this might be a 12-step program that's been effective for us over the years in dealing with a specific strong man or evil spirit that have been discerned in the captive's life. And for the sake of tonight, we're going to look at infirmities over all of this that we're going to break, and which speak of sicknesses and diseases. And the first 6 steps that I'm going to go for is going to be breaking various curses that the demons, the storm men use to seal and shield the spirits inside of a person. And then the last 6 steps, we're going to look at the demonic ties and prayers, the psychic prayers that seal and shield the demons in also. In other words, at this point, we're going to start spoiling the house. I have the individual is open and ready for ministry and desiring help, and so it's time now to begin to remove some of the devices over the infirmity spirit. Or sickness, or any type of physical problem you have in your body, or they are having in their body. The first thing we want to do is break the ancestral curses, because the condition could have been a result of an ancestral curse, and we may not have all that information, and we may not be in a position where we can hear or have heard from the Father concerning the truth that will make that person free. So an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure, so we just generally go after an ancestral generation or sins of the forefather curse concerning their infirmity, particularly if they tell us something like, my grandfather had a similar condition. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, we're all familiar with these words before the as God was giving out the Ten Commandments, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Is a scriptural reference for breaking ancestral curses. We need to have the captives confess any specific sins of their forefathers related to that particular infirmity if we know that somewhere in the bloodline they had someone that had these same manifestations of same conditions. Many times there are also multiples that have to be discovered. Demons usually wrap themselves in multiples instead of just saying a spirit. They wrap themselves around with various other demonic spirits. Then we have in, most of us are familiar with Nehemiah. We have Nehemiah as he cried out to God, and God commissioned him to, with the blessings of the king of Assyria, to go back and build a wall of Jerusalem. He began to pray and confess his sin and the sins of the people in Nehemiah, the first chapter, verse 6. Nehemiah being the cupbearer for the king and a statesman and a politician, he surrendered all of that to do the work of God. In verse 6 of the first chapter, it says that, "Let thine ear now be attended and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servant, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned." It's a beautiful story there with Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, and earlier we were talking about worship. We should do a study. I tell you what, I just completed, took 2 years, just completed a study on the tabernacle of Moses and the tabernacle of David. And to you, in tabernacle of David, you just find worship. It just revolutionized my life in worship. And I would like to just teach on that right now. I recommend Kevin O'Connell books. And in fact, there's a Bible college in my town that's teaching from those very two books. And I thought they was going to throw me out because of Deliverance. And guess what? The dean of education asked me after graduating here a few weeks ago, "Would you come out and teach spiritual warfare next semester?" I say, "Man." Then she said a few times. I said, "I didn't think so, because that curriculum don't know nothing about what I talk about." So, yeah, I said, "Absolutely." I didn't turn it on without hesitation. "Absolutely." And, so anyway, those books are excellent to understand the sacrifice in the tabernacle of Moses and the worship in the tabernacle of David, and understand what took place there leading on to Jesus and all of us being able to enter into worship. So, it's a wonderful study. I think me and the brother from Fisher was back there. I was sharing that with him. So, anyway, the necessity of ancestral curses and breaking those ancestral curses in the case of infirmities are important. I noticed that in my own family, the trends were sinus, knee problems, knee surgeries.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.